This is Wade Rathke, the Chief Organizer Report on magical realism at the border of techies and the poor. Don't get me wrong, I'm 1,000% in favor of techies of all stripes and sizes trying to figure out a way to impact on the lives and fortunes of low and moderate income families. Nonetheless, when I read an article about J.P. Morgan Chase putting up $30 million through its foundation to create a financial solutions lab to supposedly build affordable financial services within their industry, all my antennae immediately go up, because for the life of me, that sounds like a way for Chase to divert money into a tax-exempt arm to do research and development for its core business rather than anything to do with philanthropy. How jaded have I become? The New York Times published a puff piece about the effort in a special section on something they call FinTech, which I would recommend against ordering at a restaurant no matter how much you like seafood. They highlighted a company called Propel that seemed amazingly well-intentioned and dedicated. They thought of developing an application for a smartphone that would help lower-income families apply for food stamps. They were sent with the other Chase lab rats to walk the mean streets of San Francisco to get a better sense of the needs of the poor. Did I really say San Francisco, one of the richest cities in the United States? Maybe they were looking to see how many lower-income families had managed to stay in San Francisco, but I don't want to get off my subject here. Anyway, Chase gave Propel $250,000, and they ended up switching over to develop an app to allow a low-income family to be able to determine the balance they had left on their food stamp card. I guess that's a good thing, though in my experience, most food stamp recipients can tell almost anyone within a penny how much they have on their card at any time, day or night, during any month you might want to ask. Or they walk to the corner store and find out, but let's just stay positive here. You will need a smartphone, though, for the app to help you. We have this nagging problem, though, of the widening gap in internet access, but according to various Pew Research surveys, 74% of families making less than $3,000 per year now have sometime access to the internet. 13% of families with internet access making less than $30,000 can only do so with a smartphone. So for the subset of those who are also eligible for food stamps, of that 13%, the app might have some value. Of course, smartphones cost money, and if a family making under $30,000 can afford a smartphone, that doesn't mean they can afford unlimited access to data, of course. 48%, in fact, report on Pew surveys that they pretty regularly get cut off from their smartphones because they don't have the money to pay the bill. 30% also report that they regularly exhaust the minutes on their data plan, so essentially have to cut themselves off from using their phone to access the internet. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a solution looking for a problem. I'm just saying that this fintech pretense of supposedly helping lower-income families who are unbanked and victimized by their lack of affordable access to the financial system is way ahead of its time until there's equal access to the internet, the cost of devices are lowered, and the FCC forces the predatory telecoms to produce affordable plans for low-income families. In fact, if Chase had been willing to really be charitable and invest $30 million in a campaign to make that happen, PDQ in the U.S., then we would be talking about a real step forward where we could let 1,000 apps bloom. Until then, other than providing R&D for big banks, it seems the cart has once again jumped way ahead of the horse. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.